Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Blah, blah, blah.
Get up.
Wake up.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Legit. Yeah.
Alice at 97.3.
Good vibes and variety. Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show, Lady Gaga Central here, checking in. It is all week long we've been doing this. It is the final day for this. So right now we've got a pair of tickets for you to see Lady Gaga before you can even buy them. And then at noon, 12.05, and all through Jane's show this afternoon, 305, 405, 505, 605. Lady Gaga, win them before you can buy them tickets. Right now, take the word ticket, T-I-C-K-E-T, and text it to our contest line, 20357. That puts you in the running for your chance at tickets before you can buy them to Lady Gaga on July 22nd at the Chase Center. Text the word ticket now, and you'll be entered to win these tickets. This hour's code word is ticket, 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 ticket. This part of the show is brought to you by La Garza Summer Camp. La Garza Summer Camp has it all. 30 locations all across the Bay Area. A variety of programs from sports to STEAM with flexible scheduling. Epic fun for kids and peace of mind for parents. It's a good time. You want your kids to have a great time. Have a great summer.
My kids went last year. They loved it.
Head to LaGarzaSports.org and use the code ALICE for $50 off today. It's that time of year. Everybody's getting their kids settled in.
You got to find a plan, man. Summer's going to show up and you're going to be like, I work. I can't have this kid home all day.
And better that than a screen. That's my first story here. Screen time. Randomly, Hugh Grant. I did not know that Hugh Grant had four kids, but apparently he does. And they are with two different women and they're between the ages of 7 and 13. Oh, sorry. He has five kids. My bad. Five kids. Hugh Grant has five kids between the ages of 7 and 13. Two different women. Did not know. I didn't know he had one kid.
And he's definitely not the parent of Elizabeth Hurley's boy.
No.
Okay. Who are the ladies?
It doesn't say in this particular story, but I was just like blown away to see five kids with two women all in the last 13 years.
Well, it's not a surprise. You know how much fun making kids is. Keeping them is less fun, but
keeping them is fine. It's fun. It's keeping them entertained. That's the problem. And that's right. Where screens come in, Ben. Weirdly, randomly, Hugh Grant is pissing and moaning about screens, as we all should be. He says, my kids get too much screen time at school. He's ranting about this. He was at an event called Closed Screens, Open Minds. Ding, ding. No shame. He spoke at this event, Closed Screens, Open Minds, where he called himself another angry parent fighting the eternal, exhausting, and depressive battle with children who only want to be on a screen. It's hard. It's a hard battle. And by the way, you're not helping yourself when you're always on your screen.
There's that. You're not helping yourself when you're always on your screen. And I am with the parents who find themselves going, I need 10. I got to give this kid this screen because I need 10 minutes. So I get that. But I also think, Hugh Grant, get off your ass and take him to the skate park. Get off your ass and take him to the exploratorium or the, I get it. Believe me, there's things I want to do every day. And none of the list includes, you know, entertaining children. But it,
so there whatever you are. Whatever he's doing at home, his main bitch here is about what's happening at school.
I'm with him because, you know, if they're going to get screen time at home and now they're getting it at school too.
Mm.
But school has always brought in a screen of some kind to show a movie or whatever. So,
yeah. Or you could take coding classes. I remember very early, you know, there would be like a C prompt and I was like, I'm already lost. I don't know. That little cursor thing is flashing and I got to go. I can't even get through my algebra class. What am I doing here? Hugh said, even the kinds of, quote, ridiculous, posh, private schools that my children go to seem to find excuses to limit outdoor time. They're like, here's his quote. They're the ones saying they're not going to play outside today because it's raining, or they can't go on the climbing frame because it's windy. It's pathetic.
Yeah, but those are the reasons. Those are actual reasons.
But they're proud of the fact that every child gets their own Chromebook. That is the last effing thing they need and the last thing we need. Oh, he's yelling about it.
Huh.
Five kids, though, with two women.
You necked him.
I did neck him. I did. Yep. We necked. I mean, not in the way that they did in the 50s. But no, he came in. He was promoting Four Weddings and a Funeral. And he held me in his arms.
And you necked him.
I said, I want some sweet nothings whispered in my ears. And he was like, oh, I'll do it. Come on over.
No, I mean, I watched you do that. And was like,
Hugh Grant. I love Hugh Grant. Although lately it seems like he plays bad guys. Bad guys who are apologetic about it, but bad guys nonetheless. I'm so sorry. This is going to hurt you.
He was brilliant.
I know. In Paddington, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Mm.
But I'm with him. I understand the screen thing is an issue. And, you know, the part of it is, and every parent feels this, I'm sure. You have a moment where you are leaving work or leaving all the things you've had to do all day and you're on your way home. And in your mind, what you want to do is get something to eat, grab a seat or whatever your goal is, shower, whatever the thing is. And there's a kid going, can we?
Or the nightly struggle that is homework. Like so the there's homework a lot. Is crazy.
I get it, but there's also a reality to, you know, we watch TV. Remember your parents saying, don't sit so close, you're going to go blind. I didn't, though. And then on top of that, I actually didn't watch that much TV. Yeah. Did you watch a lot of TV when you were young?
I mean, yeah. You know, we had a lot of rain, a lot of weather.
Oh.
You know. It's not like here, I think there are fewer excuses living in California. We're pretty much 9 months of the year anyway. You're almost guaranteed a great day, like get out of the house kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the East Coast, like we had whole weeks off from school because they were busy plowing us out, you know?
Bob, you're the youngest guy on the show. Did you grow up with an iPad and a screen? Like, they weren't around, right?
No, we didn't have iPads until I was in high school. And I had a tablet, not an iPad. I got an iPod Touch in like ninth or 10th grade.
Yeah, you're like the last generation that didn't completely grow up with screens. And the smartphones weren't that smart either.
Right, the smartphones weren't that smart. But I was addicted to TV, and I still am, if you haven't noticed.
I like it. It's a requirement for the job.
I like it, she said.
Well, a good show is a good show. I mean, it's... I love that there's so much good TV to watch because we were really limited when we were kids. There was no streaming. You watched what they put on TV and there were like 10 channels and that was it. Unless you had cable and then you were like, oh my God, we can watch MTV all day. Oh, it's amazing. But now there's too many choices and a lot of it is actually pretty high quality. Some of it's crap.
My daughter is still plowing through Gilmore Girls and is loving every minute of every episode. I don't even know it. I've never watched it. I assume it's safe.
It's a single mom and her teenage daughter, and they live in a town together. And isn't Melissa McCarthy in that?
She is.
Yeah, she's great in that. And she works at like the restaurant.
Yeah, she's the chef at the inn that the main character works at.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's sort of these people that are kind of struggling, but there's love and real life problems, and it's nice. It's a good show.
I worry a lot less about something like that than I do just scrolling YouTube and the kind of stuff that that can come. That content comes from people's homes.
Right.
And I don't know them and I don't know what they're up to or what they might be subliminally putting into their videos or not even hiding it. Maybe straight up saying, I give my daughter gifts so she'll do a dog and pony show on this video with me. Great.
That seems reasonable. That seems like she'll be fine when she grows up.
Great.
Now, that's a nice thing about a show like that, where there's like a moral to the story and they're in situations and have to figure it out. And they're not like, you know, the show isn't about some girl who's just sitting on her phone.
Like, right.
Like, oh my God, come over here. I'm going to show you this TikTok. Like, there isn't that. That's not content. That's just real life.
Right.
Okay. This next story it's very disappointing. I've struggled with this for a while now. We all have.
I'll help you. What can I do?
You're also going to struggle with this because we have long said in order to be able to enjoy art from certain people, there are things that we have to hate about the artist, but not hate about the art. Like the saying is, you know, hate the artist, not the art. Like, let's say Michael Jackson, like that dude was a pedophile. In my humble opinion, and was at the very least very inappropriate with children. And I will put the Off the Wall record on. Like, I just will. I can separate those two things. And someone else who is, I think, one of the most talented writers, storytellers of all time, is J.K. Rowling. And I love the Harry Potter universe. I absolutely love the Cormoran Strike stuff. Which, did she write those under Robert Galbraith?
Yes.
Is that the name? Mm-hmm. So, in case you didn't know, those books are J.K. Rowling. And she's written a couple other things, Casual Vacancy, which is another really good story. I think she's incredibly talented. It's so incredibly disappointing what her thoughts on trans women are, just, I guess, trans people in general. It's really, really upsetting to not just hear her opinions on this, but to see her celebrating things that I don't consider victories. And I get that everybody's entitled to their opinion. Pedro Pascal is the lead. That's where I start. I'm like, oh, Pedro Pascal. Surprise, that guy's everywhere. He called J.K. Rowling a heinous loser. He has a trans sister named Lux. Pedro Pascal has a trans sister, and his views on trans rights differ significantly from those of Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. Recently, the UK Supreme Court ruled that trans women are not women and that your sex should legally mean your biological sex. After the ruling, J.K. Rowling posted a celebratory photo where she's enjoying a cigar and a cocktail. The caption says, "I love it when a plan comes together." A nod to the A-team too, so I guess she's pooping on that as well. She's celebrating their decision. She didn't need to celebrate it. She's certainly said enough offensive things that, you know, we all know where she stands, and she's just doubling down. She also told a hater, who I guess was making comments on this, "I get the same royalties whether you read my book or burn them. Enjoy your marshmallows." It's just a bummer. It's a huge bummer. And so Pedro Pascal is calling her a heinous loser. And, you know, it is a rub. I think she's a great writer and I love some of her books. And now I'm feeling like, am I really not going to find out how Robin and Strike's relationship ends because I cannot bring myself to read her book? It's just really sad. So I don't know if anybody else is struggling with that, but I definitely am.
I struggle with it too. Mm-hmm.
The end.
I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to defend her. I can't, you know, I can't.
Right. It's just super sad. Stephen King is in the news. Speaking of authors that we love, his next book is a collaboration with a dead guy, which seems fitting. I mean, it's Stephen King. It looks like September 2nd of this year. He's got a book coming out called Hansel and Gretel. So it's, and by the way, he recently did a book called Fairy Tale. Is that the name of it?
I loved Fairy Tale so much.
Fairy Tale is a lovely book, and it incorporates a lot of characters from like the Grimm's fairy tales in it. And he sort of like there's the goose girl, and that there's all these little elements of things that, and there's a lot of pure Stephen King in it as well. There's the boy on his adventure. There's a dog. There's a, you know, there's this whole mysterious discovery and a secret that's long held. And there's a lot of really great Stephen King trope, but also, fairy tale trope. The good versus evil stuff and the fight to survive. It's all in there.
The bad guy's not an elf. What is he?
A troll?
It might be a troll.
Is he a troll?
I think it might be a troll. It's a really good book. I need to reread it.
Yeah, it's a good adventure. So I was interested to see that he's writing a book called Hansel and Gretel, which is, of course, a well-known fairy tale. If you're not familiar, they are walking through the dad gets rid of them because the stepmom doesn't like them, and they're dropping breadcrumbs.
You know what?
Through the forest to find their way back.
Yeah, I know enough of it to.
Then they find the witch's house, which is made of candy, and she's all like, "You guys look delicious. Get in these cages, and I'm going to fatten you up." And he holds a chicken bone out the bars so that she feels that you're not fat enough yet. I'll keep feeding you. And then I think that Gretel winds up sticking her in the oven, right? She pushes her into the oven.
Yeah, I don't remember it like you do.
Well, anyway, I'm sure he's going to write his own version of that thing, but that's the basic stuff there. And the dead guy he's collaborating with is the guy who illustrated and wrote Where the Wild Things Are. His name is Maurice Sendak. And Where the Wild Things Are, which is, it's a very simple book, but I feel like everyone knows that book. Like, it's not a new book, it's an old book. And the art in that is so great. All these monsters, the wild things. He apparently drew a bunch of Hansel and Gretel stuff years ago. He died in 2012. In the 90s, he drew a series of sketches for a stage production of Hansel and Gretel. And so Stephen King wrote the text to go along with all these illustrations. So it's going to be, I guess it'll be a kid's book. Although I would certainly read it. I don't know if it'll just be like a short kid's book, because Where the Wild Things Are, it's only a few lines really of script or of text. And then it's mostly about these pictures.
I don't know what like you begin. Do, but that's really cool.
So Stephen King says, in a way, I've been writing about kids like Hansel and Gretel for much of my life. And in an interview 2 decades ago, Maurice Sendak said, generally speaking, most grim fairy tales are about heroic children. Hansel and Gretel are the most heroic of them all. Well, there you go. That's coming out on September 2nd. I really don't know much more about that as far as whether it's a long form or if it's just highlighting the art. But that would be a very nice Christmas gift maybe for somebody young, for a young person. Enola Holmes 3, set at Netflix. So that's Millie Bobby Brown and Henry Cavill. They're returning, and it looks, and she plays like the younger sister of Sherlock Holmes. She's excellent.
I need to watch that.
You know what? And your daughters should watch it,
right,
too.
Right, that's what I mean.
It's really, really good.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Watch it with my kids.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good. She's great. I would say you should watch that movie Damsel, but you shouldn't watch that with your kids. It's pretty gory. But she's really good in stuff. Like, she commits, and she's great in
I like
that.
Her. Yeah, I like her in Stranger Things, so I'm sure she's good.
So there is another Enola Holmes in the works at Netflix. Enola Holmes 3. The Tiger King got married. Joe Exotic.
In jail.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what's
to
funny?
To another jailbird?
Yeah,
or is
yeah,
this,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a guy he met in jail. There, I don't understand. I mean, it looks to me like this is just a photoshopped thing. But he posted to Instagram. It looks like he's on a golf course. They're both him and the very much younger man. If you'd like to come and look at this.
Sure.
His husband, Jorge Flores Maldonado. And they seem to be on a golf course. I mean, it's, right, that's all photoshopped in that, right? They're not really surrounded by roses and tuxedos, both of them with a trucker, white trucker cap on. What am I looking at here, Vin? Please explain this to me.
Joe Exotic is such a dirtbag. I cannot stand that guy.
What?
And I can't stand that show. Yes, I believe that is all Photoshop nonsense. They are both jailbirds.
They
You're
are,
saying,
yeah.
So what did the young man do?
What do you mean? To win his heart?
No, to end up in jail.
Oh, I don't know what he's in there. Okay. Oh, let's see.
I think it was an immigration crime.
There you go. Immigration related issues.
Oh.
And they fell in love.
All right. Well, I'm
fellow inmate.
You know.
Nice.
That whole world we got to look in on was so gross.
Disturbingly. It was upsettingly gross.
And I remember Coco was working with us at the time and was like, this show I'm watching, it's crazy. And we all went and watched it. It was during the pandemic. And I'm watching
right at the beginning,
going, this is awful.
Awful. And by the way, it got really, really, like, don't go in with a light heart thinking you're going to watch this thing and escape unscathed. Like, really, really bad things happen.
Of bad
on
things.
On camera.
Right. Like
and I'm
it.
Not just talking about people who got their arms bitten off by tigers, because that also happened.
Right.
Oh, that show. This guy should be in jail.
He is, though.
Yeah,
thankfully.
He is. Yeah. Well, he was trying to kill off that Carol Baskin. I forgot all about that. That's a whole song that goes with that. All right. Anything else I can squeeze in here? Oh, by the way, Firefest 2 has been postponed. In case you were wondering, a new date is going to be announced, but actually it's not going to be, because now they're saying this that Billy guy, Billy McFarlane. Firefest is bigger than one person, so I'm selling the brand.
I saw that and just went, okay.
I'm going to give up the iconic Fire Festival brand.
Who is going to get in on that?
It's on the auction block right now.
For what? A dollar?
No, for whatever he can get for it, I guess. Maybe somebody will buy it off of him. I don't know how long let's see, on the Fire website, there's now an auction tab for the proposed sale. I guess make him an offer.
But the second
if you want it.
So-called concert.
That is postponed.
Okay.
But let's face it, that was never scheduled and will never happen.
Doomed from go.
Yeah.
As was the first one.
Not that this is on the same level as Firefest, but Mr. Beast apparently didn't show up to his own $1,000 a piece fan experience.
Oh.
Yeah. Which makes me think, was he even involved in it? Because sometimes people do that. But let's see here.
He paid them $1,000 or they paid him?
They paid him $1,000 to go to this. They say they call it the Mr. Beast experience, a $1,000 dud that didn't even have a fun ball pit to play in, they're saying here. I don't know. According to The Independent, fans forked over $1,000 a piece to attend Las Vegas's The Mr. Beast Experience, which was advertised as an unforgettable weekend, including meet and greets, exclusive merch, mini games, and a $10,000 voucher for one surprise guest. He wasn't there.
I actually thought I would be happy to take my $1,000 and leave without meeting the Mr. Beast.
Yeah, but no, you paid to get in.
No,
that was your thing. You could have won $10,000, but I don't think that happened either. Anyway, there's that. All right. What you got coming up?
The way married Americans get their spark back after these.
Oh. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, oh yeah. My God.
You're waking up with Sarah and Vinny.
Oh, look at that.
Alice at 97.3.
A-O-A-A-O.
I like his voice.
Oh, it's really good. That's Bastille. Pompeii. That's a good song. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice, the morning show. Next week, we begin the Best Mom Ever contest. Go to RadioAlice.com starting next week and find out how to nominate your mom for our Best Mom Ever contest.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. For more than 30 years, Fremont Bank Foundation has opened doors to arts, entertainment, education, and basic needs for our neighbors. Now and tomorrow, it's just what they do. Explore FremontBank.com today. Rain possible today and tomorrow. Mm. And we're under cloud cover. In fact, one of the stories I have for you is, and it's I'm going to do your nerd news in a bit.
Okay.
Not now. Don't play the nerd
alert.
News yet.
Nerd alert.
But one of the stories in the nerd news was about the celestial smiley face in the sky.
No.
You haven't heard this?
Nope.
Here it is. It's the, I'll go slowly so as to not destroy the cameras.
Oh, isn't that cute?
It's the sliver moon. With two planets forming the eyes.
You know, I noticed that it's such a unique thing for it not to be on the side, for it to be on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that what the setup is? It's sort of on the bottom. And then which two, is that Mars and Venus?
It is Saturn and Venus.
Saturn and Venus. How fun.
The celestial smiley face. Saturn and Venus and the moon set to align to make a space emoji.
I love it. It's great.
But we wouldn't see that early this morning because we're under cloud cover.
We are
here,
under
so
cloud
we
cover.
Didn't get to enjoy the celestial smiley face.
Have you ever seen the rings of Venus through a telescope?
No.
I couldn't believe how,
Venus?
Sorry, Saturn. Have you ever seen them?
No, but I
couldn't believe it. I was so excited.
I don't know if everyone goes through these kinds of phases. I think when you're young, you go through a million of them.
Yes.
And it doesn't make you a poser. It means you're learning stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Mount Palomar, which is a big telescope.
Observatory.
And it wasn't one where we could, you know, get in and look through it. It's too big and it's being used by scientists.
Right.
But it just gave me the astronomy bug and you get the, you know, you go through their little gift shop and I got a poster of the planets and that's when I ended up with that mural, the wallpaper mural of it's a shot from the moon back to Earth. That was on my
you've told me about
that was in
that.
My
yeah.
room. Cool. I went through a period with that and it is spectacular viewing. And I like admire that Scott Budman still makes a point. He's a newsman. He's part of the Alice News Network.
He is, yeah.
If you don't know
ANN,
you'll
and
know
NBC.
Eventually. Maybe next week we'll get him in.
Yeah.
He's one of the best.
Around.
I mean, we wouldn't have him as part of the Alice News Network.
Only the best on the ANN.
Durr. Anyway, he's someone who still continues to pursue these visuals, right. And I give him credit.
He keeps tabs on it, so he lets us know when there's going to be some, you know, the Beaver Blood Moon or whatever it is. Isn't that one of them? Pretty sure it
Beaver
is.
Beaver wasn't, I don't.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. Huh. Beaver.
The Beaver Blood Moon. I think that's one of the moons. I don't know. There's so many of them. The Wolf and Roses Moon. The Harvest Moon, of course. People have heard of that.
Sure. I like the song as well.
Harvest Moon?
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't know it?
It's a Neil Young song,
yes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's beautiful. Anyway, don't forget the Warriors play on Saturday night. That's at 5:30. Go Warriors.
Warriors.
Married Americans.
What about them?
So you hear this, you know, sometimes life. Jobs, kids, things, responsibilities can really
snuff that flame. Well said. You said it all with a.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I'm too tired for that. How about you give the kids a bath? And if I'm still awake when you're done putting them to bed, I'll just say goodnight to you and roll over. Oh, the Beaver Blood Moon. Dun, 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 dun.
You're really happy about that.
Well, I knew it was. I was like, could I have made up Beaver Blood Moon?
And by the way, the picture of the moon that accompanied the, like, what about that makes it a Beaver Blood Moon?
Well, obviously the teeth and the blood.
You saw that in that photo.
Yeah.
Okay. Married Americans are more romantic on vacation. And there it really is.
But. If they
you can't bring the kids.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So when you go
on, you gotta.
Well, is it because there's no kids around?
Married, yeah. Mm. Married to married, but that's it. And I'm living this in my own life as well. I understand, like, I get it. If we make plans to be together, do dates, do the things that keep your relationship, like, that's...
Keep that love alive.
That's how you keep that spark alive. Right. But then you also go, wait, what do we do with the kids? And how many phone calls do I have to make in order to get this one night?
As many as it takes, Vince. That's how many. One night. Hotel sex. Come on.
I'm just saying, like, I can see where I find myself here now where people are like, I get it. I got to get time for just us to be together without distraction. That's the way you get laid around here. I mean, reignite your relationship.
Or have a nice date. Right. Night.
Whatever. You know what I mean. But I'm bummed.
Oh,
now there's a real beaver moon.
That's the beaver. Full beaver blood moon.
That first picture just really didn't. But anyway.
No, I agree with you. It was weird. It was like, I don't know, a bunch of high tension electric wires too.
Married Americans are 65% more romantic on vacation. Yeah, not only. Yeah, but hopefully you did, in fact, leave the kids with grandma and grandpa or whatever. But not only are you, but you're away from your stuff too.
Yes.
So you're not checking your emails and you're not having the neighbor come by for a quick chat about, and then that ends right. up like an hour conversation in the street.
Right. You don't have to go do the shopping and get the dinner together.
A survey examining the romantic rituals of 2,000 married Americans found 82% believe in going on a romantic vacation with their partner. It reignites the spark and relights your relationship.
It just reminds you of how the whole thing started. When it's just the two of you, it's very nice.
There's another, like, over half claim a trip can completely rekindle a broken relationship.
Oh.
As in, you've not been communicating, you've not been who you once were, and you go away together, and suddenly you're those people again.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There you are. Like you just said, you don't have all your normal stuff around you. It's the two of you, and you start to talk and you start to, oh, and what are we going to do? And what about tomorrow if we do this?
There's increased hand holding, cuddling, a notable rise in PDA, which can also lead to, you know,
private DA.
Right.
Which is also called PDA, but you know.
Anyway. I just thought I'd remind you, if you haven't thought about this in a while, if things are feeling a little wintry at home.
Take a weekend if you can.
You may have to plan and make phone calls and, you know, pull some others into the mix to help you out, but it might be worth it.
One time, John and I went away for a 3-day weekend. We went up to, I think it's called it's up north of Bodega Bay. Sea Ranch, I think it's called. And we stayed at a hotel there, and we got there but we had gotten rid of our kids for 3 days. Like, it was going to be a 3-day thing. So somebody had our kids, and we were there and we're hanging out and we go through one night. And then the next day I was like, let's get out of here and go home. Like, there's no one at the house. Like, let's do the last 2 days at home. And he was like, all right, let's do it. Cause we were super bored. I'm like, there's only so many times you can walk on the beach. Let's go home. Have some fun at our house with all our stuff.
So you went home.
We went home and the kids were gone for the weekend. We didn't tell them we came home. We're like, let's go home. Let's just have a staycation. It was all so fun.
Romantic activities while on vacation.
That was a vacation still. We still
watching the sunset, exploring a new place together, taking long walks and holding hands, trying a new restaurant, sharing a slow breakfast or coffee on a balcony together.
That is nice, yes.
Watching the sunrise, going on a scenic excursion, or just staying in bed all morning with no agenda.
Mm.
There's an agenda, but you know.
Well, one of us has an agenda.
Right.
But once that's satisfied.
Did you just say vagenda?
Yeah, vagenda. Don't you have a vagenda? That is a great new word.
Stargazing, dancing together, napping, taking silly or romantic photos together in a picturesque spot. Cooking a meal together in a rental or over a campfire. Couples massages. Anyway, here's a suggestion. If things are a little icy at home, make the calls, make the plans.
It's hard for people who
together.
Don't have family.
I know.
You know, or really close friends who can take your kids.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, maybe you have five kids. I don't know. That makes it extra hard.
You know what's funny? I do I fight the problem. I will fight it. And
what do you
mean?
I
can get it. Well, I know that there are a lot of parents who are like, I don't want to leave the kids. Like, that's a fact among a lot of people. Mm. I know that you're saying to yourself, screw that, I'll leave those kids.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of people who are like, I don't want to go anywhere without them.
Right.
What am I going to do in a hotel room with that guy?
How about reconnect and let's rekindle the flame?
I'm with you, but I'm saying there's plenty of people who part of this problem is
I don't want to.
They don't have the ability to pull off.
Mm.
Even if you got someone to cover the kids, they're going to be like, let's bring the kids.
Let's just not go.
Oh.
What do we want to do that for? Well, I would like to get laid. Oh, yeah, I don't want to do that, please.
Great. Yeah. Super.
All right.
Thanks.
I'll meet you when the youngest turns 18. At the divorce lawyer's house.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate reality for a lot of people. Mm. The dirtiest cities in America.
Oh.
Not in a good way, by the way.
This isn't like sexy time dirty. No. This is just this place is filthy.
A website came set out to come up with a list of the dirtiest cities in America. They analyzed 12.3 million sanitation-related 311 complaints over the past year.
311?
Yeah.
That's what you call if there's like a like poop on your
That's where
driveway
you report garbage and waste and other complaints.
It has its own number.
311.
Like there's someone's trash is everywhere.
What is the one you call when you're going to dig? There's one of those.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's listed on my PG&E bill.
Right, there's like all kinds of quickie safety lines. And in the end, they found Baltimore is the dirtiest city in America.
Baltimore.
Sacramento came in second.
Oh.
I'm surprised.
Is it?
I feel like Sacramento has been on the rise now for many years.
Yeah.
And at this point, they do not want any more people from the Bay Area headed their direction. They're over it.
Mm. They have a lot. There's a lot of sort of sprung up tract housing in that area. Like goodbye, Orchard. Hello, houses.
Oh, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
Charlotte, LA, Memphis, Boston.
Boston can be dirty, can look dirty. You know, they did a good job cleaning it up, though. They used to have this just nasty. They dug down and put all the roadways through it underneath. And so all of that, like it was just stacks of. Going right through the downtown area. It was just so nasty looking. It looked like a snarl. Like, oh, God, there's a knot in the world right there.
New York landed in the middle of the pack on the dirtiest cities in America. Of the 23 cities they included, Milwaukee is the cleanest.
Oh, Milwaukee.
Listen to this. This may undermine the whole thing. Riverside came in next cleanest.
Riverside, California?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Austin.
Okay.
And San Francisco.
Wow. So all cities suck and are filthy. I see. Okay. Got it. All cities are filthy.
What?
I don't know. That seems.
It does. See, I'm with you on the, it seems.
It does seem.
This was one that I looked up at the last second and just thought, well, Sarah will have something to say about this.
I usually do.
An interior designer is sparking conversations across social media after sharing which once popular design feature she thinks is now lazy and boring.
Is it shiplap?
You don't like shiplap?
I love shiplap.
Oh, but you think that it's lazy and boring.
I'm just thinking she might be saying that. What is lazy and boring?
She says, bring back walls. That's right. I want my pony wall back.
No, not pony walls. She means full walls. Like, it's the open concept thing.
It's the open concept thing. She says it does not work.
It does work, but it only works in the one way that it works. It's not useful or flexible. It does work. If the family's all gathered and you want to watch TV in the same room as your dining table and your kitchen, that does work. There's a lot of people that it flows. But if you have kind of a small house and all the living areas are all open to each other, it can actually feel like there's no place to go and get away from stuff.
I know that I had been with Christina for many years and we'd bought this house together and here we are with our little kids and we're just building a life. And there was a point where we're in the front room in our home, and she says to me, I hate this bleepity bleeping wall right here. Oh. And I'm looking at her going, who are you?
The half wall.
Like,
that
why?
Was between the two.
Of all the things to hate, like, so you walk in our house. This is the biggest, most beautiful house.
It is
house.
A beautiful house.
I love it. Right. Okay, it could use some work. It's not perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's houses.
But the wall?
Yeah.
She just hates it. She's like, I got to get that out of here. That is.
I feel like if
I walk in and see it and I just want to.
Do a full wall or do no wall? The half wall is like, what? You put a hurdle in the middle of the house? What are you doing?
The couch backed right up against it. It was spectacular.
The couch can still be in that exact space, but you'll be able to walk around it and there'll be a flow. Now I'm in the dining room and I'm like, okay, I can either dive over this wall onto the couch or I can walk out into the hall, walk down the hall, turn into the living room. And now I'm in the same place where I could have been. I just had it open.
It's like eight steps. Anyway, these are the kinds of things though that you don't know about someone until they, there we are. We're chatting and she's like, oh, I got to get rid of this. And I just went.
So this lady is saying.
Open concept.
Put some walls back in.
Yeah, walls. Open concept is dead.
Well, I think flexibility is what she wants to say. I do think there needs to be good common areas because everyone does end up in the kitchen. So you do want there to be a wide enough space. However, not everything has to be in the one room and you can create an alcove or find a way to make it feel like its own special place in a larger room. I think she's lazy by not figuring out ways to make dividers to divide that space up visually and yet still make it all flow.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. I just said that.
Woman fight. Woman fight!
I wouldn't be fighting with her. We'd be having
he's got a...
okay, you know what? I'm fine with that.
Bob, you really
Bob, you're taking over. Taking
today.
Over the world.
Incredible. Our text number is 800-400-3697. Or something.
Some bunch of numbers all in a row.
You call 811 before you dig, says 707.
Oh, 811? Then is it 988? Is that the new suicide prevention hotline?
Oh, fuck.
There is one, though, right?
Yes, but I don't know it.
I'm going to find it.
415 says, Baltimore, dirtiest city. It's impossible. I've seen The Wire. It's beautiful there. The Wire is an incredible show if you haven't seen it, and it does show the dirty side to Baltimore. So that's a funny joke if you know The Wire. Sack is gross. Gross.
988 is the suicide and crisis lifeline.
408 says, sorry, Sacramento. My entire family moved to Rockland during COVID. I'm just waiting to retire so I can move there too.
Oh.
LOL.
Rockland.
Well, it is more affordable there. So mm-hmm. there are people who are saying to themselves, well, I can go buy a home there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're building.
Yep.
It's not.
They are building. It's that whole corridor. It's
what is that?
80?
No, it starts with an F. Why can't I think of it?
What are you thinking of a road?
Past Sacramento, there is housing being built all over there. There's a lake there too.
Folsom?
Folsom.
Oh.
There's tons of building going on over there as well. Like brand new homes where you can say, I'll take that tile and this fence.
Yes, I'd love to
and
customize.
Those lighting fixtures. And
of course, I'd love a tree out front.
And they build it.
Yeah.
And you're getting a new place.
The best thing about tract housing is that, first of all, families can move in there and it's often way more affordable. And that if they do it right when they start the project, 10, 15 years later, it becomes really established. The landscaping is growing. You start to get these shady, like if they do it right, it can be just a marvelous place to raise children in a neighborhood.
I grew up in tract housing. Mm. So for me, and with strip malls everywhere. So when I first moved away to Philadelphia, I was like, where are the strip malls? Like, I want to get off the exit on any given freeway and have 10 food options, including a grocery store, a drug store, and more.
Now you get off the highway and there's just houses.
Another highway. Like,
From one highway to another.
That
all
one,
the main ways. And then,
where am I going? Welcome to New Jersey.
What I didn't want to go to New Jersey. How do I get back?
What just happened to me?
Do you know what is really crazy about that? Is I think it happens to everyone who moves to Philly at one. Like, you get to New Jersey and you can't figure out how to get back. Like, it actually.
I couldn't get back. And it was 1 in the morning.
Before GPS.
And I had to work the next day. I'm leaving the electric factory and I'm like, doo-doo-dooing all the way into New Jersey.
Hold on. Am I on a bridge? This doesn't feel right. I lived there for a year and I still only knew how to get to like two places. Like once I left my house, I could get to work, I could get home, and I could get to like South Street, and that was it.
South Street.
Remember that? We'd go to South Street, Philly, well, and you'd just be like,
go and get your,
get your cheesesteak.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Oh, look at Bob knows.
Oh,
Jim's.
Bob, oh, you're Jim's, not a Phil's.
Do you know the electric factory?
Is it still there?
I don't know.
That was
Jim's is a one on South Street. Yeah. It is. It's Gino's and
Pat's.
Gino's and Pat's.
Pat's
that are like catty corner from each other.
And they suck.
Agree. I liked Jim's too. And they would blow the smell out onto the street. You couldn't walk by it without going in and getting some.
Last time I was home, they were closed, and I got so nervous. But they were expanding, and they reopened a few months ago.
Oh. I hope they still have the cheese whiz.
Of course.
The cheese stick.
I'm actually a provolone gal.
I am a provolone gal
as well.
You can keep
the cheese whiz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the trash, Sarah?
Oh, new music and Willie Nelson.
What?
Wake up!
Thank you.
With Sarah and Vinny.
Ding, 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 ding.
Alice at 97.3.